Turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 2.
Brother Mr. Welsh.
Verse 3. How shall we escape if we did lack so great salvation, which began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And that's all I'm going to read. In this epistle to the Hebrews, we read of the great salvation. I think that all the epistle has to do with this great salvation. I want to say a few things. In chapter 3 of this epistle, says, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. We know from Old Testament scriptures that Moses was the sent one, was the apostle. We know that Aaron was taken from among men, and he was the high priest of his people. But when we come to Hebrews chapter 3, our Lord Jesus Christ is the apostle and high priest of our confession. When we come to chapter 1 of the Epistle to the Hebrews, he is the Apostle. He is the eternal Son of the living God. God at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The Son, the Heir, the Creator, the effulgence of God's glory, the express image of God's person, the upholder of all things, manifesting indeed, he is the eternal Son of God, of whom God now speaks, and speaks to his people and to all. So in the verses that we have cited from chapter 1 of the Hebrews, he is the Son in the past. He ever was the Son. In verse 3, he made purification for our sins, and then he sat himself down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. There he made purification for sins as the high priest. In verse 6 of this chapter he says, when again he bringeth the first begotten into the world, let all the angels of God worship him. He said about the angels, they are his servants. But he says to the Son, thy throne is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is thy scepter. And so therefore our Lord Jesus Christ is that righteous one coming in the future when again he bringeth the first begotten into the world in his manifestation to reign where'er the sun its successive journeys run. So that is the apostle, that is the eternal Son of God, that is the one that is presented in this great salvation that's mentioned in the verses of which I read. So therefore you can see in chapter 1 who he is in that eternal past, then to the cross in the present, and verse 6 tells us to the future, when he'll reign over all earth. My dear brethren and sisters, this is the one of whom we read in chapter 3, he is the high priest. You know, there it quotes from Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest a little lower than the angels. Surely that's his incarnation. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Surely that looks after his death and resurrection and ascension to God's right hand. And we know in that psalm it refers to Christ in the future, things that I pass over. We don't see all that psalm fulfilled, but who do we see? We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And he tasted death for every man. That one is the high priest entering into manhood, that he may be the high priest that will sit himself down forever at the right hand of God. And immediately after it says, concerning him he tasted death for every man, crowned with glory and honor. Then he's made the captain or the author of our salvation. And there are a line of things that come in afterwards of which I forbear to speak. Only let you to see there is the captain, the chief leader, the author of our salvation, the one that's mentioned in the great salvation. So not only so, when you come further down in that chapter, he took upon him flesh and blood. He's a near kinsman. He came to where we were. He became man. He became incarnate. He passed the highest heights above, endured by all the sons of flame. Such was his self-denying love. He laid aside his crown and came, and at the cost to save the lost of heavenly rank and earthly fame, he saved me, blessed be his name. He came from above, the near kinsman. He destroyed him that had the power of death, the devil, who was a liar from the beginning. He avenged him. He avenged him at the cross. He was a murderer. And then he liberated us, who were all our lifetime subject to bondage and death. That is the one, my dear brethren and sisters, who came, who became incarnate, the captain of our salvation, the Redeemer, the Avenger of Satan, the Liberator of us to dwell with God forever. But when you come later on in that chapter to towards the end, he comes of the seed of Abraham. He's made like unto his brethren, that he may be a faithful high priest in things pertaining. He might be a faithful high priest, merciful to us and faithful to God. And in the end of that chapter, he made propitiation for our sins. And he helped and he succored us, the great high priest, who now sits at God's right hand, able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Oh, dear brethren and sisters, as we leave this conference meeting and think of that blessed one of whom we have heard so much, the apostle and the high priest, who now sits at God's right hand, glorified. In the epistle to the Hebrews, not only but we see something of his work. Chapter 1, he made purification for sin. Chapter 2, he tasted death for every man. He rendered Satan powerless at the cross. He made propitiation for our sins at the cross. He appeared in the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Again, in chapter 10, he says, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. A body hast thou prepared me. My dear brethren and sisters, he came from that high place to do the Father's will. From the manger to the cross and back to heaven again, he did the Father's will. In verse 12 of chapter 10, there he enters again into the cross, and there he's putting away sin from before the face of God, the work of the Son. And further down in that chapter, the witness of the Spirit, he says, Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. I will remember no more. I will write their my laws on their mind and on their hearts. So there you can see again, dear brethren and sisters, doing the Father's will. He did the Son's work at the cross, and here is the witness of the Spirit. Our sins and iniquities He will remember no more. And then further down, you have not only all that kind of thing, but my dear friend, you have Him entering in through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And then He goes inside the great high priest to sit on heaven's high throne on our behalf. So you can see so much of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only in His death. And as we would go on through the Scriptures, He looked at the cross, He despised the shame, and He looked forward to the glory on the other side of the cross. And in the end of the epistle, He went outside Jerusalem's walls. I suggest again, as some talked about suggesting, I say, we have an altar. I think that that is Christ in His person and His work. And then it refers to the major sin offering and to the high priest. And eventually outside Jerusalem's walls, He died in all its reproach and shame. Outside all Judaism, outside Jerusalem, outside all the religious world. And no wonder we have heard from our brethren in the very language of this chapter 13, Let us go forth unto Him without the camp bearing His reproach. Oh, dear brethren and sisters, what about it that we will grasp indeed not only the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, but something of His great work of only I have mentioned a few things. And when you come, not only so, the blessings that come in that great salvation because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we get the forgiveness of sins, we get salvation, and not only so, we enter into that rest and that happiness and joy and fellowship with our God. We enter into it now, we go through it enjoying it, and when He comes again, we'll enter into it in all its fullness. Don't you think it's well worthwhile to be saved? Don't you think it's well worthwhile to know the Christ of God, the one who shed His precious blood, the one who gave His all without reserve, the one whom Paul could say, Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Words would fail him to be able to thank God sufficiently for our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who now sits at heaven's high throne. So there you can see those marvelous things. And you know, there's many more things we could say if we come to the Epistle chapter 11 and see all those in that background before the cross in all their marvelous faith. The faith of Abel, he began it. The faith of Enoch in all his walk and fellowship with God. The faith of Noah with all his service and preaching, and the faith of Abraham, a pilgrim and a stranger that looked forward to the future. And we could go on repeating to see how those men in the past, before Christ ever came, and through the scriptures and the prophets, looking forward to his death on the cross, how they put their faith and look forward to the future. And it's marvelous in chapter 11 of the Hebrews, nearly with every one of them, the thing that's against them is apostasy. And in spite of all the apostasy, you have a great line of men and women who started with Christ and went on with Christ and finished with Christ without getting the fulfillment of the promises. They left everything behind, and they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth, looking forward to that heavenly country. You think of that, dear brethren and sisters, those who in the past they knew all those things and looked forward, and those now are in the very presence of God. And as we come to some other chapters, you'll find in the future they'll get great blessings even in the future. But another thing I want to say before I sit down, the great home that lies before us. You know, it said of Abraham, God called him, and he went out, and he did not know whether he went. And he lived in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob as a pilgrim and a stranger. But then he looked forward in that 100 years of which he was a pilgrim and a stranger. He looked forward to that heavenly country. He looked forward to that city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And there he is this afternoon waiting for the resurrection, when his body will be raised also, and to be enjoying all those marvelous things in the future. Now that's about all I wish to say. May God bless the few remarks we have made concerning the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it may warm our hearts with what we have already heard, and that we may seek to go on and glorify his gracious name.